Good evening. In the news tonight, New Yorkers come together to call for the passage of the Right to Know Act. New York City has announced a reduction in time inmates spend in solitary confinement. A new AP investigation has found that most companies and groups that paid Hillary Clinton to speak between 2013 and 2015 have lobbied federal agencies in recent years. And the rock star Prince has died. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Thursday, April 21st, 2016. City officials have announced a reduction of solitary confinement by two-thirds in the last 2 years. This is the result of changes made by Corrections Commissioner Pont. Glenn Martin is with Just Leadership USA, which has been working to shut down Rikers, and it's been working to reduce the prison population. Martin commends Pont and Mayor de Blasio.
These are all steps in the right direction, and as someone running a citywide campaign to shut down Rikers, that includes at least 60 organizations so far, I think we need to do both. I think we do need to have this North Star of shutting down Rikers and at the same time caring for the people who are there now languishing in a place that's been defined as a torture island. Just this morning as I flew into LaGuardia from Ohio, I always take a moment to really look down and think about what's happening in this island that's just a few hundred feet away from LaGuardia Airport, and that represents the antithesis of all the values that we espouse as New Yorkers, as progressive people. And I don't want that to get lost in the middle of a piece of good news, a piece of valuable news, yet at the same time, extremely incremental reform in light of the types of abuses we've seen over the last few decades at Rikers Island.
Martin says reducing the number of people in solitary makes sense, but it's important to address the root of the problem. Why do we have so many people at Rikers in the first place?
Particularly when 85% of the people that are there are not sentenced to, doing time, right? So most of them are being detained for one reason or another. I think 75% are folks who are not convicted of anything and just awaiting trial, and then there's another 10%. Who are waiting to go to state prison and so on. But that's the deeper question, which is, you know, we have an island where people are not just being abused, but arguably the majority of them are there simply because they're poor and cannot afford bail in a city that is resource rich and can come up with mechanisms so that people can fight their cases while holding on to their liberty. And the thing about Rikers is people often assume that the average person who's there is constantly thinking about how to regain their liberty. But the truth of the matter is that it's such a violent place that most people are there thinking about how to stay alive.
Martin says this is not the kind of jail we should hold up as progressive New Yorkers. He says most people will never go to Rikers, but there are two things people can do to bring Rikers to New Yorkers.
If you're familiar with the type of abuses that happen at Rikers, and if you know stories of people who have had their hope and opportunities taken away as a result of spending time on Rikers, you should be sharing those stories with your neighbors. Because I think it's important for New Yorkers to understand that the $167,000 per bed per year that we're spending to run this facility is something that we all own as New Yorkers who pay taxes and who live in this city. So I would first urge people to tell stories. Secondly, I would urge folks to visit our website at closerikers.org and sign up for our listserv and for the many actions we plan to have in the upcoming months here in New York City to continue to keep the pressure on the mayor and on other policymakers to finally shutter this facility.
Glenn Martin, formerly with the Fortune Society, is with Just Leadership USA. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Outside City Hall today, activists, artists, and moms who lost their sons to police violence and elected officials gathered to push the Right to Know Act. Zach Murphy was there and files this report.
The Right to Know Act is a set of bills which gives you the right to know who is stopping you, why, and the right to refuse a search without probable cause. It's aimed at improving police community relations and transparency between civilians and police officers. However, critics say that the Right to Know Act would handcuff the police department from doing their jobs. This is not the case, says Councilmember Jumani Williams.
Now, this has been a rough couple of weeks for the NYPD. I haven't said much about it because I'm happy that the mechanisms in place are doing what they're supposed to be. But as we move forward, we know that it's not just the morale of the officers that are down. It is the trust in the community that's down. It is the belief that the NYPD will protect us that's down. Whether it's true or not, it hurts everybody if we can't get that back up. And truth be told, that's not just good for you. It's not just good for New Yorkers who are police officers. It's good for all of these police officers who are out here who want to do a good job. It's hard for them if we don't trust them because there's no transparency. And that's what this Right to Know Act is about. It's about building the trust so they can do their job and we can trust them when we do it. That's all that it's about. There's nothing to fear with these two pieces of legislation. There's only something to fear if we can't get these pieces of legislation out. If we can't have transparency rise to the top and give people the right to know. That's all that we're asking. That's all that we want. We want better policing and we want safer streets at the same time. We have the right to have those things and we will have those things.
New York City Councilmember Margaret Chin agrees. She says that the Right to Know Act will actually help police officers.
We have the majority of the city council supporting this legislation. And it's been 2 years, and New Yorkers and our community people have the right to know. So let's work together and get this legislation passed. Because as my colleague said, as mothers, as community members, we want to make sure that our community are respected, all right? Police officers, they have a right to do their job, but the community have the right to know. So it doesn't take a lot. They should just have a card to let us know their name, rank, and shield. And it's not just for complaint. There are other times we also might want to thank them for helping someone in the community, and we should know who they are. So let's get this legislation passed and make sure that our community are protected and respected.
Artists at the rally included the Peace Poets.
We carry our people in our bones.
We have not, come on.
We have not come here alone. If you listen, you can feel them in our souls. We have not come here alone.
No, 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 no.
Carry our people in our bones. We have not come here alone.
Linda Sarsour with the Arab American Association of New York reminded the city council that they work for the people.
We are not asking anybody for any favors. We are asking for transparency and for the New York Police Department to abide by the Constitution of the United States of America. Sisters and brothers, we have the right to know who and why we are being stopped. That sounds quite reasonable to me. We also have a right to privacy and a right to consent and be protected from illegal searches. That sounds reasonable to me. I want to remind you all that the New York City Council works for us. They work for the constituency. They don't work for the New York Police Department. They don't work for the New York Police Unions. They don't work for the NYPD Police Commissioner. They work for the people. And the people are asking to pass the Right to Know Act.
Many members of the City Council hope to vote on the measure soon. The Right to Know Act has been co-sponsored by Council members Richie Torres and Antonio Reynoso. However, they are still working on getting enough support in the City Council chamber to pass it into law. As of now, they are confident that it will soon get enough votes to pass. Zach Murphy, WBAI News, New York.
The people gonna rise out the water. We gonna face this crisis now. I hear the voice of my great-granddaughter saying shut this system down.
Say a little louder.
People gonna rise out the water. We gonna face this crisis now. I hear the voice of my great-granddaughter saying shut this system down.
One more time real loud.
The people gonna rise out the water. We gonna face this crisis now.
Come on.
I hear the voice of my great-granddaughter saying shut this system down.
Make some noise for yourself.
In other news, protesters are demanding justice for Akai Gurley. This after police officer Peter Liang was sentenced to probation and community service instead of jail time. As David Saleh tells us, protesters were arrested.
Go to jail!
Go to jail!
Kill the cops!
Kill the cops!
Go to jail!
Go to jail!
Go to jail!
Protesters stood outside Brooklyn defense attorney Ken Thompson's apartment in Clinton Hill late at night after the Liang sentencing. Six of the seven protesters have been released since their arrest, but one protester, Jason Woody, is still being held. The city has thrown the book at this protester, giving him an array of charges ranging from tumultuous behavior, refusal to move, to assault of an officer, a charge which may be disproven from video evidence showing otherwise. Bail has been set at $5,000. If Woody is found guilty, he could get jail time. His supporters say it's ridiculous he may face a worse punishment than Peter Liang, who shot and killed Akai Gurley.
I'm sadly not surprised that Peter Liang, who murdered someone for entering their own home, is able to go home, possibly own a gun still, right, and just receive community service, whereas a person who is making noise and reacting righteously to the feeling of living in a world that we were never meant to live in as black people is faced with a felony charge. Totally unjust, totally doesn't match what was happening.
Supporters are raising money to help Woody obtain his release. David Saleh, WBAI News, New York.
As many as 500 refugees are feared dead after a shipwreck last week in the Mediterranean Sea between Italy and Libya. UNHCR's William Spindler describes what has been learned from survivors.
What we know is that this particular group who survived were traveling on a boat that left Tobruk in Libya. They sailed for several hours, and while they were in the open sea, they approached a larger boat that was already overcrowded, and they were forced by the smugglers who were in control of the boat to move to this bigger boat, which was already carrying hundreds of people. And during that transfer, the larger boat became unstable and capsized and went down. And most of those who were on board, which are estimated to have been about 500, lost their lives. A few people managed to swim back to the smaller boat, and those who had not yet been moved also managed to survive. The boat drifted for 3 days before it was rescued by a merchant ship and taken to Greece.
The tragedy ranks among the deadliest in recent years on the often treacherous sea voyage along the central Mediterranean by refugees and migrants from Africa, the Middle East, and beyond. They've traveled in droves, hoping to reach relatively peaceful and wealthy Europe. A magnitude 6.1 aftershock in Ecuador on Wednesday set babies crying, and it sent nervous residents pouring into the street. The pre-dawn jolt was the strongest aftershock yet since Saturday's magnitude 7.8 quake, which killed more than 500 people. About 7,000 were injured. The Ecuadorian president Correa says he will increase taxes to raise badly needed funds to pay for rebuilding from the weekend's devastating earthquake. This includes taxes on millionaires and businesses. After her win in New York State, Hillary Clinton leads Bernie Sanders by 277 delegates, 1,428 to 1,151, not counting superdelegates. The AP says Clinton could lose every remaining contest and still prevail, and a review by the news agency found that companies and groups that paid Clinton to speak between 2013 and 2015 have lobbied federal agencies in recent years, and more than one-third are government contractors. Their interests would follow Clinton into the White House should she win the election this fall. Federal records show almost all of the 82 corporations, trade associations, and other groups that paid for or sponsored Clinton's speeches have sought to influence the government. Lobbying, bidding for contracts, commenting on federal policy, or contacting State Department officials or Clinton herself when she was Secretary of State. At least 60 of the groups lobbied the government at some point since the start of the Obama administration. Over the same period, at least 30 profited from government contracts. 22 groups lobbied the State Department. And after Clinton's win in New York, problems at the polls which came to light are being investigated. Some New Yorkers were told they weren't registered or weren't registered with a particular party. Other problems included faulty ballot scanners and polling sites which opened late, not at all, or were switched. Some people found 5 Sanders delegates and 6 Clinton delegates on their ballots. Many found those ballots confusing and they were not uniform throughout the state. And this doesn't even address the problem of millions of New Yorkers not voting because because we had a closed primary here in New York. In Brooklyn, the New York City Board of Elections confirmed that more than 125,000 voters were removed from voter rolls. And as Susan Lerner with Common Cause New York tells us, Brooklyn was not an isolated case.
We've received complaints from regular voters who've been at the same address for decades, not changed their party registration. They've gotten to their polling place and either they're not in the book or their party registration was magically changed. And there was a tremendous amount of confusion around the ballot itself. And poll workers who were not trained to answer questions were no help and in some cases gave out misinformation.
And what is your organization doing about all of this?
Well, first, what we're doing is we are collecting stories to be able to show to the Board of Elections and to our elected officials this is not just some problem that the voters didn't pay attention and didn't change the registration in a timely fashion, but there are real administration problems and a breakdown, particularly with training poll workers, keeping the voter rolls in a accurate manner. And we are telling people that the Board of Elections certainly needs to improve, but the real responsibility for how our election administration struggles year after year after year lies in our state legislators and the county leaders of both political parties.
Lerner says she has heard problems with the seat on the Lower East Side to replace Sheldon Silver.
In that district, you had a primary and a special election happening simultaneously, and the Board of Elections in its infinite wisdom decided that it had to have two different ballots, one for the special election and one for the primary. We are aware of people who went to their polling place. They were not a registered Republican or Democrat. They asked for a special election ballot, and they were told that they could not get a special election ballot unless they voted in the primary. But they couldn't vote in the primary because they weren't a registered Republican or Democrat, and they were unable to vote in the special election to replace Sheldon Silver.
Also, there was a report from New York One that the Board of Elections said that those who filed an affidavit, that their ballots wouldn't be counted, but then they would be registered in the future. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. So as a result of a hard-fought reform that our organization, Common Cause, and others managed to get passed through the legislature several years ago, if you file an affidavit ballot, if your name is not in the voter rolls, and when they go to check and they determine it wasn't an error, you aren't properly registered, the affidavit ballot itself becomes a new registration form. Previously, what happened is if you filed an affidavit ballot, they sent you a letter that said, oh, you're not registered. Come in and register. So you would have to file another piece of paper. That was an unnecessary duplication, and we got that changed. Now, the problem is that the board may not do as thorough an investigation as it needs to into the status of voters, because we have heard from voters that there were irregularities with the poll books. People who checked their voter registration the night before, they were listed as properly registered, but they weren't in the poll book when they got to their polling place. And it's unclear to us how much investigation the board does to determine whether somebody was properly removed from the rolls or not, or whether they just look at the voter rolls and say, oh, that person isn't on anymore, so the affidavit ballot doesn't count. And that's something we're looking into.
Susan Lerner is with Common Cause New York. Her organization has been cataloging complaints by voters. And the New York State Attorney General is also investigating the New York City Board of Elections. This after his office received more than 1,000 complaints on its voting hotline. The most common complaint was from people who tried to vote but were told they were unregistered. Others complained they were told they weren't registered with a particular party and couldn't vote in the primary of their choice.
Sounds like
legendary singer, songwriter, and producer Prince has died. He was found at his residence today in Minnesota. First responders found him unresponsive, but no cause of death has yet been given. Last week, Prince's plane was forced to make an emergency landing due to health reasons. Prince was hailed universally as a virtuoso, gaining notoriety for his range of expertise across music genres and instruments. His career has been active since the 1970s. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Thursday, April 21st, 2016. The news was produced with Zach Murphy, David Saleh, and Reggie Johnson. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. Stay tuned now for our Live After the News segment with your calls.